Chapter 5, 17th Army Group, Mairak Front. War lit Cadia. It was as if the planet burned. On the surface, raging firestorms lit up miles and miles of battlefront, while overhead, lightning storms in the high atmosphere illuminated the night sky, punctuated by blinding flashes as warships died in cataclysmic explosions, their plasma reactors going nuclear, and the burning wrecks falling towards the planet like vast flares hanging in the darkness. All was war. And gleaming above it, the Eye of Terror pulsed and bulged as arcane sorceries were invoked. The vast globe swirled with vivid purple and yellow, blotches of unholy light pulsing and fading in sickening patterns. Under the hellflames, General Gruber's army hammered relentlessly at the armies before them, slaughtering heretics as they howled and shrieked forwards. The forces they faced were high on frenzen. For a day they battled through the endless tide of screaming bodies. Lena was on the left wing, with one of the surviving armoured units of the Cadian 8th, Lord Castellan's own. She had been a sponson gunner at Tyrock Fields, but with war and field promotions, she had risen to main gunner on the riser pattern demolisher Hammer of Tyrock. The Hammer was a temperamental beast of a tank, and on the second day of the assault, her engine started to clang dangerously. Then she ground to a halt. In the absence of a tech priest, it fell to Lena. She was the best at coaxing unhappy machine spirits.
"It's your soft hands," Ibsic said.
"Freck you," Lena told him, as she lay under the tank, trying to unscrew the drive shaft panels. Tanks filed past on either side. Commanders had cloths tied over their faces. Some waved. All stared. A Titan-hunting squadron of three shadow swords trundled past, their service tanks skittering about them. It was a magnificent sight, with scout sentinels, a brigade of Hydras, and a complement of ancillary support vehicles and tanks. In the centre of the great convoy were the three shadow swords, their fixed volcano cannons still smoking. Lena let out a long, low whistle. It was only when you compared the size of a shadow sword to a Lehman Russ that you got a sense of the scale of these things. The immense tank crested the rise, the fixed gun swinging towards her as it descended.
"Look at those," she said,
and started laughing as a second and third behemoth crested the ridge. Just behind the sponson weapon cabins, the side hatches squeaked as they swung open. Her crew spilled out and stood beside the tank to watch.
"Holy throne," one said.
"Freck," said another.
It took half an hour for the Titan Hunter squadron to make their way across the veldt. The sight of a pair of tech priest chimeras frustrated Ibsic. It wouldn't take one of them long to fix Hammer. But with each minute, their unit was racing farther and farther ahead. Lena was down there for more than an hour. She finally slid herself out from under the tank, sat up, and rubbed lubricants from her hands.
"Got it fixed?"
"I think so." She was climbing up when there was a sudden flash of light, and then a rolling boom. Lena ducked.
"What was that?"
Ibsic had his scopes out.
"I think they just nailed the Titan," he told her. 70 degrees west."
Lena grabbed the scopes. The landscape before her was flat, marked only with wreckage from the sky battle, which stood up from the ground like tufts of burning grass.
"I don't see it," she said.
2 hours later, they reached the place where the Titan attack had been stalled. A dead warhound lay on its back, like a drunken man in a downhive bar, legs wide and head tilted back in a posture of utter debasement. Smoke rose from a hole in its chest cavity, a thick, noxious blend of promethium, lubricants, and human flesh, all burned to ignition by the heat of the impact.
"Look at that," Ibsic said.
Their tank slowed to a crawl.
Lena pushed her way up out of the cupola. The size of the dead machine was breathtaking.
The paintwork of the Titan was chipped and worn. The barrels of the turbo laser were blackened and heat-stained. The ammo feed of its Vulcan mega-bolter had broken open and spilt bolt shells across the ground. She took in the size of the shells.
"Freck."
The fight was still going on. The flashes strobed Lena's face as she looked out.
"Keep the gun loaded," Ibsic warned her.
"Done," she said. There was good hunting that morning. In the ferocious battles, the heretic counterattacks were held and thrown back. They came across three more dead renegade titans in the next 5 miles.
The last was a jackal class. It had been knocked out perhaps half an hour earlier, and had not yet been isolated by the tech priests. As Lena's tank approached, a Mechanicus Chimera pulled up alongside the stricken Titan. Lena watched as a tech priest glided out, octopus-like, on a bed of coiling mechadendrites. It reached the head of the scout Titan. Mechadendrites touched the Titan's head, and a shudder went through the great construct. And then the head lolled limply to the side. It was like watching a farmer put a bolt into the brain of a grox. Lena looked away. "Let's get out of here," she said. But Kazrakin were holding the lines of armor back as a shadow sword drove up. The super-heavy tank came to a halt, a thin wisp of smoke still rising from the volcano cannon. The battery fans were still blasting cold air through the cooling systems. Behind the cannon, the hatch opened, and a slim, hawkish man climbed up, put his hand to the side of the mammoth tank, and slid down the side of the fixed gun mounting. The tank commander walked along the shadow sword's decking, one hand to the gun barrel to steady himself. He wore the markings of a tank ace, but it was his poise that Lena found instantly intriguing. It was like watching a peacock. He came down one of the metal ladders, jumped the last 10 feet, and landed squarely. When he turned towards her, Lena saw the handsomely scarred mouth and silver gorget. She knew straight away who he was and nudged Ibsic. "It's Pask," she hissed, but Ibsic had seen at the same time. Pask pushed up his peaked cap and strolled over to the dead Titan. He put a hand against one of its vast tree-jointed toes. He struck the pose of a big game hunter on a death world.
7 in 2 days. Not bad.
Lena didn't know what to say.
"I think we've broken them," Ibsic called out.
Pask looked up.
Yes.
He pointed up to the sky. They glimpsed the lightning flashes of a naval battle.
"Terra has answered our call."
Lena didn't know what he meant.
"The Imperial Fists chapter have come to our aid. They have brought the phalanx."
Lena nodded, but she didn't really know what he was talking about.
"We've got them beaten,"
Pask gave a short, weary smile.
"Now we need to punish them, make sure they never forget it."
He turned his back and returned to his shadow sword.
"We have to make sure they never dare to attack us again."
For the rest of the day, Gruber's 17th Army plunged through heretic armies like a stiletto blade. He was fearless when they stormed the enemy strong points, his bane blade lending its weight to the attack whenever it appeared to stall. He made an obvious target, and his armor saved him from sniper fire a number of times. He took a shot to his leg but refused to step down, and insisted that the Medicaid dressed his wound there, on top of the bane blade. Lena was involved in 2 battles, one against a column of chimeras, the other against a tank brigade dug into the slopes of a low rise above the river valley. That day, Creed's broadcast did not come. But there was so much to do that the attacks pushed on regardless. Creed did not broadcast the next day either. It was night when the vox box spluttered to life, an hour before dawn. Lena was curled up in the bottom of her tank. Her head was pressed up against the hard metal of the magazine floor. Flower of Cadia started to play, and she felt a prickle of fear go through her.
"Ibsic," she called.
He was sleeping in a hammock slung above her. She had to poke him with a finger to wake him.
"It's Creed!"
Ibsic flicked a light on.
"Turn it up," she told him.
He turned the vox head up, but as the tune came to its end, Creed's voice did not come. There was nothing but the crackle of static. Lena felt her heart begin to beat faster. Something was wrong. But then a woman's voice started to speak.
"The Emperor asks only that you obey. Intolerance is a blessing. The faithful dead watch over you. The martyr's grave is the foundation of the Imperium. The only crime is cowardice."
Lena had to shake Ibsic.
"What's wrong with it?" "Delante!"
Delante, the driver, had the best touch with the vox. He crawled back and fiddled with the controls. The military music came in and out. He gave up.
"It's working," he said. "It can't be."
Lena slammed a hand onto the top of the machine.
"She's just reading from the Tome of Uplifting Thoughts. Something's wrong. I can feel it. Something is terribly wrong."